15, beginning in verse 36. After some time had passed, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit the brothers and sisters in every town where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take along John Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take along this man who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone on with them to the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed off to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, after being commended by the brothers and sisters to the grace of the Lord. He traveled through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. You may be seated. Wednesday, as we were looking at the earlier verses in chapter 15, we saw where there was a resolution to a false teaching that had been brought into the church in Antioch. Now, the church in Antioch of Syria, there was a group of people that came down from Jerusalem to the Gentile church in Antioch of Syria and said, "You have to follow all the Old Testament rules before you can become a Christian. Basically, you have to become a Jew before you can become a Christian." Paul and Barnabas had shown that this was a false teaching, but the false teaching had come from the church in Jerusalem. So Paul and Barnabas went up to Jerusalem, even though it's south, it's uphill, and they talked to the church there. And the church agreed that the false teaching should not have gone out, and it needed to be addressed. And during the discussion, Peter stood up first among the church, because there were some of the church in Jerusalem, part of the group of the Pharisees. They'd come out of the Pharisee group of Jewish belief. Those are the ones that tried to hold to every single teaching in the Bible. They were the ones Jesus would talk about and say, "You have made people so unable to fulfill the law of God. You made it such a burden, and you're not willing to even lift a finger to help lift that burden off of them." Well, part of that Pharisee group that thought you had to work your way to salvation, they needed to be addressed because it was a false teaching. You cannot work your way to salvation. The only way that you can get to heaven is through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. You can never be good enough. Some people say, "Well, I've got to do things plus what Jesus did." No, Jesus did everything. On the cross, his last words are, "It is finished." That means paid in full. It is completed. When Jesus died for our sins, there's no other debt that needs to be paid by us. It is finished. But some people say, "Well, I got to do good works too. I have to come to church." No, you don't have to come to church to be saved. But if you're saved, you're going to come to church. "I have to give my tithe." You don't have to give your tithe to be saved. It's not by works. You give as God has blessed you, as he has told you to do. "Well, I got to go witness." No, you don't have to witness to be saved. But if you are saved, you're going to tell other people. There are works that follow salvation, but works do not earn your salvation. So Jesus is the only way. Look at Acts 4:12. Just in case you don't believe my words, because I don't want you to believe me, I want you to believe what God says. Look at Acts 4:12. "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Let me back up to verse 11. "This Jesus is the stone rejected by you builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else." It doesn't matter how sincere you are about your belief that somewhere else will save you, only through Jesus Christ. So Peter stood up in the Jerusalem church, said, God chose me, you all know it, to give the message to the Gentiles. They had all heard the story about Peter having his vision of the sheet let down from heaven with the animals, and God told him, kill and eat. He said, no, I have never eaten unclean food. And God told him, don't call unclean what I have made clean. There are people waiting at the door for you. Go with them. Peter went to the Gentile Cornelius, led him to faith in Jesus Christ, along with all those who were with him, and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Peter said, you know that God chose me to be the first one to give the message to the Gentiles. And you know that we got the Holy Spirit the same way they did. God is not a respecter of national origin. He has brought faith to all who believe. And then Paul and Barnabas got up, and they talked in the Jerusalem church, talking about how God had brought salvation throughout the Gentile world everywhere they preached, and how God had confirmed the message through miracles. Now, Jewish people, Scripture tells us, demand a sign to prove that God is with them. Greeks, it says, they want wisdom. They want you to have a good debate with them. But the Jewish heritage people need a miracle. And Paul and Barnabas told them about all the signs and wonders, the miracles that God had shown. And then James, the half-brother of Jesus, the head of the church, he concluded the meeting by saying, we've heard what Simon Peter said, and we have our brothers, Paul and Barnabas. Let us send a letter to stop this false teaching. Let's just tell the Gentile churches just four things that they need to abstain from: sexual immorality, from blood, from things that are strangled, and from idols, food sacrificed to idols. Now, these four things were there because the gospel message is to go to both Jew and Gentile. The Jewish people would just stop their ears if someone's coming to them eating their leg of lamb from the Zeus tipple. They wanted not to hinder the spread of the gospel to the Jewish people or the Gentile. So they sent the message. And they said, you know, some people don't always believe what is written down. They had to have people tell them to. So they sent two people, Justus and Silas, from the church in Jerusalem to confirm what was in the letter. And the church was encouraged in Antioch when they heard that salvation is by faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. And then, sometime later, this is where we come to our passage today, Paul says to Barnabas, let's go back to all those churches we visited, the believers, and let's strengthen them. Now, this fulfills what Jesus said in Matthew 28. Turn with me there. The last chapter of Matthew, looking in verse 19 and 20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Paul and Barnabas had gone throughout all these cities and made disciples, baptizing them. Now Paul said, let's go back and make sure they're being taught the truth. Because sometimes when a group of people is left alone without proper leadership and without reminder to stick to the Word of God, they go off in weird directions. They had just finished dealing with an issue from the people coming down from the church in Jerusalem. Now, these churches that Paul and Barnabas had gone to, they couldn't say, well, let's just look at what the Bible says. The Bible wasn't written down yet. It was just the word of mouth. It was written down later because people thought Jesus is coming back any minute. Why do we need to write it down? Everybody's already heard. But then they understood that for God, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. We don't know when God's coming back and Jesus Christ is going to return. It's when he says it's the right time. Well, Paul says to Barnabas, let's go back and visit these towns. And Barnabas says, let's take John Mark, my cousin, with us. You know, he went with us in the first journey. And Paul says, no, because he didn't stay with us on the first journey. When we got partway through our journey, when it started getting tough, he went back home. Now, we don't know exactly why John Mark left Paul and Barnabas when they were in Perga, but we know he did. That was in Acts 13:13. And there have been commentators that speculated maybe John Mark was homesick. Maybe he got sick. Maybe he was afraid that things were just too tough. Maybe he was afraid of the persecution that the Gentiles were giving to Jewish people. Whatever happened, John Mark went back to Jerusalem. That's where his home was. And we saw John Mark's home earlier. Remember when Peter was in prison, he went and knocked on the door. That was John Mark's house. And we hear a little bit more about John Mark later. One of the Gospels was written by Mark. Some people leave for other reasons. We don't know exactly why. But maybe Paul was thinking about Proverbs 25:19. Turn me back. I don't know if you've ever, I don't know anybody can quote this one right off the bat, but it's an interesting one. Proverbs 25. And verse 19. Trusting an unreliable person in a difficult time is like a rotten tooth or a faltering foot. Paul might have been saying, no, Timothy, when things got tough, he's like that bad tooth. You know, it hurts. It made things work. Or that foot that fell asleep. You ever tried to walk when your foot's asleep? You know, it doesn't go very well. So that's what the proverb is saying. Trusting an unreliable person. So Paul might have been saying, no, I don't think John Mark is reliable. He left us before. He might leave us again. Barnabas, on the other hand, and Barnabas means son of encouragement. He was the guy that said, let's give people a second chance. Paul ought to remember this. Because Paul was not always known as Paul. Earlier in the book of Acts, he was known as Saul. And Saul was the one that was persecuting the church. But Barnabas was the one that said, let me go show you that people deserve a second chance. And he brought Saul into the church in Jerusalem and showed them that people can change. And maybe that's what Barnabas was saying. John Mark could have changed. He's not the same John Mark that left us before. Now, Satan could have been real happy here. He's got Paul and Barnabas arguing with each other. They have a sharp dispute, and that word sharp dispute is only used one other place in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Let's look there. Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 24. And let us watch out for one another to provoke, there's that same word, love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So that sharp dispute was a provoking of Paul and Barnabas. What should we do when the church comes together, we need to provoke, spur one another on, some translations say. Prompt one another. Encourage one another to do what God says. Because sometimes we have different opinions. We have disputes. And Satan likes to bring disputes into the church to divide us so we don't do anything. Well, Paul and Barnabas didn't let Satan win. It's not like, we're not going to let Satan tell us, well, we're just going to sit here in Antioch and don't do anything. Well, the goal was to go back to all the churches that we started. So Barnabas takes his cousin John Mark with him, and they go one direction to the churches that were started at the beginning of ministry, the island of Cyprus. And Paul takes Silas. Silas is also known by as a name Silvanus. You'll see him other places mentioned in Paul's letter, 2 Corinthians 1:19, 1 Thessalonians 1:1, 2 Thessalonians 1:1, and Peter mentions him in 1 Peter 5:12. So Silvanus is the Roman version of Silas's name. So Paul says, Silas and I will go this way. We'll go backwards on the way we started the churches. You go with the ones we started first, where Satan wanted to cause nothing to happen. God worked through the situation. Instead of two men going out, there were two teams of two men going out. God's message was furthered. There was a dispute, a disagreement. Was Paul mad at John Mark? No. In Paul's letters later on, he says, Mark is very useful to me in the ministry. In one letter, he says, can you bring Mark with you? Another letter, Paul says, everybody's abandoned me except Luke and Mark. They're the only ones that stayed here with me. Later on, we see Mark working with Paul, right side by side. But at the time, who was right? God was right. Barnabas encouraged John Mark. Maybe he was a bit immature. And Barnabas worked with him. Paul took Silas. And this is going to work for God's plan. Silas is a Roman citizen. Later on, Paul and Silas are going to use their Roman citizenship to open doors of ministry. How can you do this to us who are Roman citizens, even without a trial? And what? And the people that were afraid, and they had an opportunity to proclaim the message clearer because they had privileges as Roman citizens. Silas was also a prophet. You remember earlier when Paul and Barnabas were preaching. Somebody thought Barnabas was Zeus and Paul was Hermes because Paul was the only one talking. Now you got two preachers that go up and proclaim the word. God knew what he was doing. We look through world history. Paul and Barnabas walked on Roman roads that were built by the Roman Empire because Rome thought everybody should have an expressway to Rome. That made traveling through the mountains and through the countryside easy because God had allowed the Roman Empire to come into prominence. Before them, the Greek Empire. Their whole idea is everybody should speak Greek. So everywhere Paul and Barnabas and Silas went, they could proclaim the gospel in Greek. And everyone understood. God had allowed the Greek Empire to go throughout the world. He laid the foundation for the spread of the gospel. And at the perfect time, in God's time, Jesus came, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, and died to set us free from sin. God had everything set up. He knew what he was doing in his time. So what happened? What's the end of our section right here? It said in verse 40, but Paul chose Silas and departed, after being commended by the brothers and sisters to the grace of the Lord. He traveled through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. That'd be sort of like he left Texas and went up through Oklahoma and Arkansas. So he went to the surrounding community, the states, if you will, of the Roman Empire. He's heading back, and he's starting his, what we call the second missionary journey. We don't hear any more about Mark or Barnabas in the book of Acts. But we haven't heard any more about Peter in the book of Acts either. That doesn't mean that God has abandoned them. It just means the book of Acts is focused on the ministry, the spread of the gospel through the Apostle Paul. There are millions of people that are not mentioned in the Bible that were instrumental in leading other people to Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean they're not important. God has certain people he recounts the story of, the events of, to teach us a lesson. What can he teach us from today's passage? Sometimes there's disagreements. That doesn't mean you have to get mad. It means God could say it's time for you to go this way and you to go that way, but both of you go in the grace of God to spread the message of Jesus Christ. Four people can do more going two different directions than two people only be able to go one direction. Let's not look at disagreements as a means of getting upset with each other. Don't do like these two guys that were shipwrecked. They were found 5 years later, and there were three churches on the island. One guy said, "Why is that?" "Well, that's my church, that's his church, and that's the church we used to go to." There's only two guys. Well, God wants us to look at problems as an opportunity to spread the gospel. That's why he tells us in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, don't stop meeting together. You need to come together to encourage, to provoke one another. Can't we do more? How many people knew about the house down the road for Crisis Pregnancy Center until you heard about it here? We can be encouraged to help them there, to help other people other places. But our goal everywhere is to share the message of Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Stand with me for our closing prayer. I'll be here if you have any questions at the end of the service. And sometimes we have a little trouble talking. Got to answer that. In the vestibule back there, there's a trap rack. You can just leave them wherever you go. Leave them with the tip. Don't leave them without a tip when you go to a restaurant. And that sends a bad message. Leave them as you're traveling around. They proclaim a gospel message even when you're not there. Lord, I thank you for the time we could be here. I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for showing us through your word that there can be disagreements and you be glorified in the end result. Let us not be stopped by disagreement, but be spurred on toward doing more for you. In Jesus' name.